Be part of the conversation. Send us a WhatsApp message on +27 73 470 3520 or call us at +27 12 001 7679. Let your voice be heard. Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media. From broadcast to baptism.
Dependable, dependable God. It doesn't matter what comes my way, you are still God. Intentional, intentional God. Everything is working out for my good. Dependable, dependable God. It doesn't matter what comes my way, you are still God. Intentional, intentional God. Everything is working out for my good. You love me too much, oh, too much, oh, too much, oh, excess love, oh, you love me too much, oh. Too much, oh, excess love, oh. Thank you for loving me too much, oh. Unconditionally, Lord, thank you for loving me too much, oh. Thank you for loving me too. Thank you for loving me too much, oh. Thank you for loving me. What would I have been? Where would I have been without you? You love me too much, oh. Oh, kakame, na him you be. You are A to Z, and everything in between, no. Amamamasyamasyo, now you be the most high king. Eche tobye zike, odiro yedika king. Amamamasyamasyo, now you be the most high king. Eche tobie zike, odiro yedika. Now I'm standing here only because you made. Now I'm standing here only because you made. Now I'm standing.
Of course, that song is called The Dependable God, coming from Victor Thompson, which is leading us, of course, very beautifully into our conversation that we are going to have with Dr. Q today. And we're talking about the impact of fertility on the impact of technology, in fact, on fertility treatment. And that conversation is coming up next.
You are tuned into Business Sense on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
Already shaking, so. Now, advances in medical technology have had major impacts on human reproduction. The development of effective contraceptive methods has reduced unwanted fertility, and the development of a variety of drugs and procedures has, for the first time, permitted women with fertility problems to reasonably expect that they can fulfill their desires to have children. Assisted reproductive technology, interesting one, I don't know anything about that, is the phrase most commonly used to describe medical techniques which increase the likelihood that a woman will have a child. Now, we are going to talk about the ethical concerns surrounding this ART as well as the impact of technology on infertility as well. And my guest this evening is an obstetrician, right? Gynecologist and fertility specialist, Dr. Q. I hope that I've pronounced that very well. Did I?
Obstetrician.
Ah, there you go.
There we go. Medical technology.
You know, the one thing that I've learned about medical people and lawyers is that just the terminology. Now, Angizi, guys.
The jargon,
I'm not coming.
The
eh?
Jargon. I'll tell you.
Like, let's start there. Why do you guys have so much complicated terminology, jargon?
No, we just want to look intelligent.
Oh,
like,
is that what it is?
No, it's all of us.
How are you, Mel?
I'm awesome. Thank you. How are you, Tapelo?
Thanks for having me. Thank you so much for joining us this evening and taking the time to join us live in studio, by the way.
You're
really
welcome.
Appreciate it. And how was the drive and how was the day?
The day has been good. I'm actually from another live. Into another.
Oh, okay.
And yeah. And been making babies during the day. So it's been awesome.
Well, when you say you mean you've been making babies, you mean other people's babies, right?
Helping people make babies.
That makes a whole lot of sense.
Yeah, that's the topic for today. Arts.
Yeah, no, it makes sense. Let's start then. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself and maybe what you do?
So I'm commonly known as Dr. Q, passionately known as Dr. Q.
Yeah.
It actually stands for Qinisile.
Yes.
That's my home name.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful Zulu name.
Okay.
I have to say so myself.
Yeah.
And it's just a pity that not a lot of people can pronounce
it.
It's got a nice click to it. You know, it tests you.
Yeah.
You have to have the interest to pronounce it. And I'm born and bred in a township in Durban called Kwamashu.
Oh.
So I would be Qinisile from Esinqonqweni.
That's a lot of cute clicking sounds, right?
That's my own click song there. So, born and bred there, and I studied my undergrad degree at the University of Natal, which is the bachelor's degree of medicine and surgery.
Yeah.
And then I worked as a general practitioner, then went back to school and studied my master's in medicine with the speciality in obstetrics and gynecology, where we basically focus on women's health. Obstetrician is for pregnant women.
Okay.
So we help mother and baby and help them to get through a healthy pregnancy and a healthy bouncy baby.
Yeah.
And then gynecologist means a woman that is not pregnant. And then went back to school again to do my second master's, which was a master's in philosophy.
Okay.
And there I did reproductive medicine,
which
is now the topic of today, where now one has become a super specialist in reproductive medicine or fertility treatments, which then we call assisted reproductive therapies or treatments.
Yep.
And then started my fertility lab, which is called Family Matters Fertility Center.
Okay.
And our slogan is making babies is our art.
Yeah, I love that.
And, and it's a play on the word art, but it's actually standing for assisted reproductive therapy. So making babies is our art as a gift, but it's our assisted reproductive therapy, which is which are the services that we offer.
That you offer, right? Which is really interesting. Yeah. Now, this problem of infertility, is it a common thing in South Africa?
Well, yes, globally.
Yeah.
And more in low-income areas.
Yeah.
And that mostly is attributed to the fact of low-income areas being associated a lot with pelvic inflammatory diseases, STIs, HIV, which then affects the fallopian tubes of women, the whole reproductive system being affected. So it is common. We are talking about one in every five couples being affected by infertility. So you can imagine you probably have a relative or a friend that is affected with infertility. Yeah. So that's how much of a vast a problem it is.
And what are some of the common causes, before we even talk about the technology that's being used to deal with such, what are some of the causes for that?
Yeah, so I've just mentioned the one, which is what affects fallopian tubes for a woman. Fallopian tubes are the factory in a woman's body where the baby is actually made.
Yeah.
I call it a bridge. So if the fallopian tubes are blocked, the egg and the sperm cannot meet, so the baby cannot be made.
Yeah.
And other issues, so that will be from pelvic inflammatory diseases. Common issues that mostly women would know about is endometriosis, which also can block the fallopian tubes and also affect the ovaries. And other conditions that mostly women would know will be polycystic ovarian syndrome. But then there are women who actually run out of eggs before the age of 40. Some are affected at the age of 33, which is why it's very important for women to know about their fertility, because then women wait to get married first, you know, because that's the order that we would like to follow personally or religiously or culturally. But then you find that by the time they reach marriage, 38, 35, some of them have already ran out of eggs. And that's where technology also comes in. I'm bringing your topic, hey? Where then we offer women egg freezing, because it's something that I don't want us to leave here without making people aware of, because we use these opportunities to actually educate and inform people. My people die because of lack of knowledge.
Yes,
so this is
true.
The whole purpose of the platform.
True.
So that's where egg freezing actually comes in, so women have an option of freezing their eggs. Most best between the ages of 30 to 35. You can do it younger, but if you know that you're single and there's no prospects of getting married before the age of 35, that's the recommendation. For males, it's issues. Okay, there's a lot. I can list a lot. Fibroids and so on. For males, mainly, it's either being born with too few sperm or abnormal shaped sperm or sperm that has poor swimming abilities, because sperm has to fight before it makes that baby.
Like it has
to go through the acidic environment and go through the womb and then reach the fallopian tube and then actually the scoring happens. So those are some of the common factors that actually affect couples that we investigate and are able to intervene with the technology that is available to our age.
That's interesting. I think when you say one in five is a little bit scary for me, because I'm like, then the chances are very high that one couple would find themselves with such a problem, right?
And so
what are some of the different medical treatments then that are available, I suppose, for a couple that is having a hard time conceiving naturally?
Okay, so we can start firstly, depending on what the problem actually is. Some people, you find that it's a matter of a woman releasing an egg, and that's the only problem, that they actually are not able to, or are not ovulating. So just medication alone, so tablets, taking tablets to help her to ovulate, to help her to release the egg, and then we time intercourse, and then we call that ovarian stimulation.
You time intercourse?
Yeah, but yes.
Meaning that at 7 o'clock or at 3 o'clock.
Really? Baby, come back from work. Leave that meeting. I'm kidding. We call it timed intercourse because we time it to the time where the egg is released, which is called ovulation. You can be having intercourse randomly, but then if you really want to aim for that goal,
some of my listeners laughing already.
It's a fun topic, man. Or it's me loving my work.
Yes.
But it has to be during the time where the egg is is released.
Yeah.
And that is called ovulation. Mm. So the egg lasts for only 24 hours. Mm. So if ungayiba mangaleyo 24 hours, you can have the whole month, you know, but you miss that 24 hours, maximum 48,
yeah.
then you've missed the goal.
Yes.
So that's why we called it timed. It's yeah. some it's being intentional about yeah. baby making yeah. and knowing your goal.
Yeah.
So that's stimulation yes. with drugs.
Yeah.
And then if you find that it's issues like poor sperm swimming mm. or any male-related factors that cannot be treated with medication, or the fallopian tube is blocked. Mm. It's like wanting to go across the river mm. To meet somebody, but there's no bridge. Mm. So there won't be mm. any meeting.
Yeah.
So the egg and sperm cannot meet.
Yeah.
That's where technology actually mm. comes in. So we form that environment.
Mm.
So that environment is the fallopian tube. So okay. we more like mimic what happens in the fallopian tube. So in the fallopian tube, the sperm swims in, mm-hmm. meets the egg there. Then the egg and the sperm become 2 cells, 4 cells, 6 cells, 8 cells, a mulberry size. Then that takes about 5 days.
Okay.
So it travels through the fallopian tube and enters the womb only on the 5th day.
Wait, this is done outside of the normal
ways of doing things. Now that's the natural.
Okay.
That's how God made
okay.
things.
Okay.
You know?
Okay.
So now technology yeah. comes in, the bridge is blocked.
Okay.
So there's a 5-day process that yes. needs to take place in this bridge.
Okay.
So now we mimic that. That's sure. called assisted reproductive technology.
Mm.
Where we say, look, the bridge is down.
Yeah.
And you can't cross over. Sperm mm-hmm. can't cross over. So why don't we take your girlfriend from across the river
mm.
and bring her over and fly her over?
Mm.
So basically what we do then is say, lady, we're going to give you medication that's going to give you stimulation of the ovaries. Then you, instead of making just one egg for that month, mm. you know, that is fertilized,
a lot.
We're going to get as many yeah. as God provides this month. You know,
yeah.
we're not going to lose any eggs,
yeah.
you know.
Yeah.
So we give you a lot of, so it's called hyperstimulation.
Mm.
Where we stimulate the ovary, cautiously so, because there's also side effects mm. of hyperstimulation.
Yes.
So we stimulate the eggs. You take medication for plus minus 10 days. It comes in small injections. Currently, unfortunately, it's not just tablets that you can drink.
Mm.
When we go assisted reproductive therapy, which is in vitro fertilization.
Mm.
So fertilization naturally takes place in vivo, which is in the tube.
Yeah.
But now we take it in vitro.
Okay.
Vitro meaning in the laboratory.
Yeah.
So then we get the eggs out, fly them in. Into the laboratory.
Mm-hmm.
Sperm can be easily produced.
Okay.
So the guy gives us the sperm.
Mm.
And then if the sperm has issues, then we also assist the sperm.
Because he's also on the other side of the river, right?
He's also on the other side. So what we do now,
yeah.
so now that we have the eggs, we either in vitro fertilization,
yeah.
just pour the sperm into the egg if
okay.
the sperm is actually fine. Let's say it was
yeah.
a broken down bridge.
Yeah.
So we just pour the sperm into the egg
mm-hmm.
and then naturally fertilization can take place.
Mm.
Then the egg chooses the best looking guy. Like, oh, I choose
okay.
you, you know, from
okay.
the millions that are there.
Yeah.
Like, I choose you, then the baby's made.
Yeah.
Or if now the sperm cannot penetrate the egg, you know, due to abnormal shape or whatever issue, then we also have what we call ICSI,
mm-hmm.
which stands for intracytoplasmic sperm injection, where we inject the sperm into the tissue of
mm.
the egg.
Mm.
So we penetrate the egg using technology. It's a needle, and we call it an ICSI machine,
okay.
where we take one sperm, we look at all the swimmers, best swimming guy, best looking guy. We choose the sperm,
oh, okay.
and then we put it in this needle,
yeah.
and we inject the needle into the egg,
yeah.
and then we release the sperm.
Yeah.
So that's where fertilization takes place.
Yeah.
Then we grow this baby for about 5 days. Remember, that's the journey
mm.
through the fallopian tube.
Mm.
And then on the 5th day, we call the couple in. We're like, voila.
Voila, we've done
Here's
this.
Your embryo. And then we transfer
yeah, yeah.
Into the womb.
You spoke about side effects here. What are the possible side effects there?
Okay. So side effects would happen if there's high drug usage or
okay.
an overactive response of the ovary,
yeah.
mostly common in women with a high number of eggs.
Yeah.
And this would be bloating, starts off with bloating, enlarging of the ovaries, producing a high number of eggs. Mm. And it's usually for women where we find 15 eggs and above. Mm. And then this now, remember the body is used to having one major egg releasing hormones. So this now your body releases a high dosage of hormones. Mm. And then it starts overreacting. Then you can get swelling, fluid leaving the bloodstream into the tissues.
Yeah.
Then swelling of the tummy, fluid in the tummy. Worst case scenario, can reach the heart and the lungs. Mm. But we are able, as specialists, and that's why we need to specialize in this, we are able to find women who are at risk of that and be able to prioritize treatment, dosages, and all of that to prevent these major side effects.
Okay. Okay. That's really interesting. Mm. Just a few of other questions. But I want to get into the technological advancements then, especially in this reproductive health space. Is it a good thing?
To who?
I suppose to maybe to the couple that's experiencing this might
Hello.
Be good, but hey, from an ethical point of view, is this a good thing?
Like, are we asking? Hello, if you were told if your desire was to be a father, your desire was to be a parent, and you are told that you cannot be a parent. You know, we get people who were told you can never father a child.
Mm.
And they come to us and we're like, here's the drugs, take these drugs. Here's IVF as an option. Here's ICSI as an option.
Mm.
And to see them holding the children in their arms, is it a good thing?
Does the end justify the means, though?
Okay. Let me speak about it. Let me get to your question and then we'll get to this one.
Yeah.
Ethically speaking.
Yeah.
You know? When we talk ethics, what are we talking about? We are talking about moral principles, the main principles that guide us morally.
Mm-hmm.
We can talk also probably religiously, okay? And then we can talk medically, ethics, ethicals.
Yeah.
Medically, we are guided by, there are four pillars of medical ethics.
Yeah.
The first one I can speak about is beneficence. You asked me, is it good? Mm. And that's why I said, for who? because obviously, when they come, it's what they want.
Yes.
So it's good
so
for
it's
them.
Good
that's
for
what
them.
They
Definitely.
Want, you know? So the first a medical principle is beneficence, which means do good.
Yeah.
Do good. From the word benefit, it must benefit them.
Yeah.
So is it good? Yes, because it practices the medical ethic of beneficence. Whatever we do for our patients, it must be beneficial to them. So, is it medically ethically
ethical.
Correct?
Yeah. Yep.
Yes, according to the medical, according to the four pillars of medical ethics, it is beneficial.
Yeah,
we take that one.
Yeah.
The second one is. The opposite of beneficence, which is maleficence.
Mm.
So non-maleficence. Mm. We must practice non-maleficence. It must not be a malicious act to the people that are concerned.
Mm.
So do we take that one? Yes. I just spoke about the side effects. And we know what is the malpractice of that or the negative effects of the treatment.
Yeah.
So we need to be cautious of that effect. So we need to be ethically correct.
Yeah.
We must practice non-maleficence.
Yeah.
And then others, it's justice.
Yeah.
I think the part where we can query justice, where assisted reproductive therapy is concerned, is where then you have... Where people will really query justice is same-sex couples, where they say justice to the child, or it's where an egg donor or a sperm donor is used.
Mm.
So that's where they'll be like, where is the justice to the child? If you are a single parent, let's say a single woman comes and says, look, I'm not finding my knight in shining armor and I'm ready to be a mom, you know, so then I'm ready to buy sperm, you know, and get an egg donor, unknown sperm donor, and I'm ready to have the baby. I can afford it, you know. So that's where people then will query justice to the unborn child.
Yeah.
Who would like to have an identity.
Yeah.
And now in European countries, they are actually currently in South Africa, we are having anonymous egg and sperm donation.
Yes. Yeah.
That's where justice comes in and identity issues come in. And then it has been found that in the countries where it is now a known egg and sperm donation that is being practiced for the sake of the identity of the child and justice to the child, the donation rates have actually come really down, because you don't want to be a student and going to produce sperm freely and get an extra grand or so, and then 10 years, not even 10 years, 20 years later, you're married and having your own family, and people come knocking down your door and saying, you're my dad.
That might cause a divorce, right?
You get what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
So because it's anonymous, in our country, we still have egg and sperm donors that are able to actually assist.
Yeah, I do think that, look, if there's four pillars that you follow, I suppose it does answer, although in part just the medical ethics of it, you know, because you then still have the other side of that non-medical ethics that we have to talk about as well. So then my question is, are there people you've advised against?
Against assisted reproductive therapy?
Where you see with la? Mm-mm.
It's not going to work.
Yeah.
Like, I don't recommend it.
Yes.
Look, it's people who I would, because it does not come cheap.
Yeah.
This service. It's really serious technology, advanced technology. And the drugs themselves, if we speak about a stimulation, we're talking plus minus 15K, depending on just the drugs itself.
Yeah.
And when we're talking about an average IVF cycle, we're speaking 56 to 100K, you know, so it doesn't come cheap. So if I get people who, I've had somebody who actually paid me in full to say, I'm 50 and I'm ready to have a baby. But I had to tell her, for your life's sake, I recommend you against.
Yeah.
And I had to refund her and say, you're not healthy enough to go through this process and the pregnancy. You understand? So, yes, there are people that I've advised against where now maleficence played a role, because I would get this woman pregnant and she won't live long, maybe probably not even live throughout the pregnancy, or live long enough to mother that baby. And people who have conditions that they are not willing to treat before they become parents. For example, if I die before we assist with ART, then we tell you to do a basic HIV test. If we find that you're HIV positive and you don't want to be on ARVs, then we don't intervene any further. We'll be like, what are you trying to do as a parent, not taking care of your own health? Now you're risking the life of the baby, infecting the baby and all of that. And then you probably won't live long enough to actually father or mother that child. So there are people like that where we say, no, you need to take personal responsibility as a parent first, be a healthy parent first before. And then others, because of cost, where I see that the chances of success are actually very little, because we do investigations and we check your egg count, your sperm count and all of that. And if I see that, look, if you want to use your own eggs and go through the process of IVF, you may be having the funds to do so, but the success rate will be close to a failure, mm-hmm. a negative. Mm-hmm. So you will rather keep your money and do something that will fulfill you, get a trip to Europe or something and enjoy a holiday, mm-hmm. Than spending it on this, which will not mm-hmm. be successful. As much as you're desperate and you need to, you know, if egg donation is not an option for you, mm-hmm. then go and enjoy a holiday and mm-hmm. spend it on something, invest on something mm-hmm. that will fulfill you. So yes, there are certain conditions.
That's interesting. Mm. Are there any common concerns globally around this particular treatment?
The concerns are multiple gestations, mm. where then now we're having a high number of twin pregnancies, triple babies, you know.
So a person wanted one and now there's three.
Double impact.
Back to the sender.
So we've had a number of quadruplets, triplets, sure. you know, where then the mother's life is at risk, given the quality of the babies that you get. With triplets is actually at risk. Mm. So currently now we are practicing what we call SET, which is single embryo transfer.
Okay.
Where we recommend that we transfer only one embryo. Mm. You would rather go through multiple tries than to put in a number of embryos and say whichever one catches, take a chance, find a finder. You get what I'm saying? Then you end up risking the chance of multiple pregnancies. Mm. But, you know, there were concerns that, you know, IVF babies become big babies, the quality of their health. But there's not much... from my own personal experience, you know, every IVF baby that we've delivered as a fertility center has been, if I can say so myself, like 100% healthy babies. Mm. We've never had the, and then I guess then with numbers, then you will be concerned of congenital abnormalities that people will speak about, but it's something that's really not that common. Mm. So we get... good egg, good sperm, good pregnancy, good baby.
Yeah. And what about successes then? The rate of success?
The rates of success with IVF is actually individualized because it's not a blanket approach, really. Yeah. It depends, as I mentioned, the different causes of why are you going through IVF in the first place. Mm. So if we are dealing with somebody who's young and healthy, but they have a blocked tube, then the chances of success are actually quite good. Mm. So on average, we're speaking about 50 to 70% success rate. But if we're dealing with a 44-year-old with poor quality eggs, fewer number of eggs, you know, then the success rate also then decreases depending on the condition. If we have a sperm factor, poor quality sperm as well, then the success rate becomes less. So we can't say IVF success rate can get up to 70% and then you also with poor quality eggs then expect the same success rate as a 31-year-old, for example. You understand?
I think you've covered this question, but maybe for the sake of the listener as well, is counseling recommended for me and my partner if you want to do this?
Counseling?
Yeah.
Yes. We actually work with psychologists because it's a very emotionally draining process. Before, during, and after IVF, counseling is very important.
Yeah.
You must be prepared for the possibility of success and also disappointment.
Mm.
And people actually walk into IVF with such high hopes, which is good because it helps with the process of the treatment itself, but then the disappointment, it's a high fall actually that is also experienced. So people must be prepared for a possible disappointment so that they handle it well and are able to still be hopeful at looking at another try or different options and so on and so forth.
Yeah.
So counseling support is highly recommended when you are going through this process.
Yeah. Just to expand maybe on the listener's question there, as you are saying that, I'm thinking now that, like you're saying, I suppose men also need to be there to support their partners as well throughout this particular process. Now, but they have to go through this check the sperm and stuff
it
like
takes two to
this
tango.
Thing we can see whether this thing will work and all that. Now my question then is, are men open to it most of the time?
Hey, you know what? The answer is no.
Yeah. And that's very sad.
Yeah, it's very sad. And we are really, really trying out there to bring about awareness, especially to African men who take it as an offense that, you know, you can't just open your legs and fall pregnant. They take it as a personal attack, or they actually blame without even testing whether they are the problems themselves.
Yeah. Yeah.
Whereas 50% of the causes of infertility are also male related.
Yes.
30% purely men, 20% both male and female. So it's mostly male as it is with females. And then you find that then women are mostly given the stigma of infertility. They call them names in Nyumba. You know, they call them Mr. So-and-so instead of Mrs. So-and-so because you are a man. You can't give birth, you know. So then you have relationship breakdown. You have divorce. You have suicide. You have homicide where women are even killed by their own partners because the words, you are not helpful to me or whatever. But males do need to come in. We have a video actually on a in our Family Matters Fertility Center YouTube page. We've done a video on a couple that has gone through the obstacles and you know, the ups and downs of trying to start a family. They even ended up adopting. It's called the Causa Family Story. And we have a segment on the guy himself, Mr. Causa, speaking about the importance of supporting your partner through this, because then others feel you go through the treatment process, I'll come in when the sperm is needed. That's the best support that they can give. Being there and going through the process and seeing and listening to the doctor and understanding, and also being able to remind your partner what has been said and forming that cushion of support is actually vitally important.
Sure. We ran out of time, but I want to get onto this particular question that I think you've addressed in parts, right? The chances of a child being born, quote unquote, lack of a better word, defective.
Oh, yes. As I said, you know, we've been running our fertility center over the past 3 years. We've never had even a heart problem or anything. It's been said that there is a risk of what we call congenital abnormalities.
Okay.
But it's actually not that common. It's not a factor because even with natural pregnancies, you actually do get that.
Yeah.
That a Down syndrome baby is born because of an abnormal egg or sperm.
Yeah.
So it's not a phenomenon that is specifically common to assisted reproductive therapy.
Okay. Before we get into how people can contact you, are we not playing God here? Especially Christians who are going through this particular process or who want to get into this particular process. Are we not playing God?
I love that question. I wish we had started with it.
Okay.
Now you just said we ran out of time. Listen, the people who suffer the most, and it saddens me, the people who suffer the most and deprive themselves of this opportunity are mostly Christians and educated women.
Ooh. Okay.
Believe it or not. Because they are busy, the educated women are busy focused on climbing the corporate ladder. Then they delay baby making. By the time they wake up, it's like, I wish I knew. And that's where God comes in and says, my people die because of lack of knowledge.
Yeah.
You know? Number one. Number two,
okay.
Christians then will go, Christians will then go, am I not doubting God? Where is my faith? This children are a gift from God, Psalms 27, you know. And then is God not wanting to bless me with this gift? If God says no, then so be it. But then the Bible also says that it is God who gives skills to the worker. you know, and this is, I believe I'm a skilled worker. I believe that I am an extended vessel that is being used by God to assist his people.
Yeah.
You understand?
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, if God says no, it will not happen.
Yeah.
Life comes from God.
Mm.
God is the giver of life.
Mm.
I do not take those embryos after fertilizing them and say, receive the breath of Q.
Yeah.
It is the breath of God that is breathed into that. Yeah. He says, I knew you before you were formed in your mother's womb.
Yeah.
So he knew you even before we transfer you into your mother's womb. That's where you're actually formed. So it is him that gives the life. So as we go through the processes as believers and as Christians, we still trust God.
Yeah.
I pray for every embryo transfer that I do.
That's beautiful.
And the song that you played, Dependable God, You Make All Things Beautiful. Those are the songs that I play. Just to also create that atmosphere of saying, we want a dependable God, and we are really depending on you to breathe your breath of life and finish the process that you have skilled us to initiate and you complete.
Sure. Any final thoughts to our listeners?
To those who are struggling to conceive and would love to be gifted with the gift of parenthood, we can start there by saying, you are not losing faith in God. You are actually exercising faith in God by trusting the technology that he has created, because he has given this wisdom. And then you need to go out there and be tested. You will not know what the problem is.
And then how can people follow you, your clinic as well, and get in contact with you if they are interested in utilizing your assistance?
So we are Family Matters Fertility Center.
Okay.
That is on Facebook. And on Instagram, we are FamilyMatters_Center on Instagram. And our website is family-matters.co.za.
That's
yes, okay. And our contact numbers +27 12 012 664 664 0299 0299.
Okay, fantastic. Thank you so much, ma'am.
Thank you for having me.
Dr. Q. Thank
you for having me, AWR.
Indeed. I do think this is part one, though. I must be honest with you.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I think there's still a lot that I haven't addressed here, which I think is really important for us to also unpack. But thank you so much for your time.
You are most welcome.
And joining us this evening. Well, to you as our listeners, thank you so much as well for joining us. We really appreciate it. Remember that you can continue to talk to us on +27 7347 0352 0 as we try and make sense of some of these topics, which are really, really important for our time.
Do you want to make your money make sense? Listen to Business Sense every Monday to Thursday, 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. and make sense of your money. Thank you.